Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Aloha, guys. You did that so well. Thank you for welcoming us. Thank you for this lovely sunny day. I appreciate it. As always, great to be with you. Whenever I travel, my own church kind of prays for all the places that we're going, and then they like to get credit for it, so I'm legally obligated to tell you that my church is praying for your church this morning. It's last night in Hawaii, so I just got some text from my intercessors saying that they're praying for you. And they love me to introduce my church to the churches to which we travel. And the best way I know how to do that is to tell stories. We have this tradition on my island called talk story. When you meet somebody for the first time, you don't just jump into business, right? You have to talk story for a while. You have to swap a few stories and, hey, this is what's going on in my life. Here are some people I know. And then once you've shared a few stories, then you can get on with the business. So here are a couple stories from Blue Water Mission to the Belfast Vineyard. Recent stories from my family that I was thinking about this morning. There's a guy in our church who's he's much been on my heart lately because we've just sent him and his family off to be missionaries to Japan. His name is Samuel. He's a great character. He's like this African American guy. He's like 6'5" and 250 pounds with a big booming voice. So when Samuel's in the room, everybody knows it, right? You just kind of hear him and his big laugh and stuff. Not so long ago, after a church service, he was down the hill from our church eating lunch at this little cafe. And he saw through the window a woman who was walking across the car park on crutches, had a cast on her leg. And so he abandoned his lunch in the restaurant, and he goes outside, and he says to her, excuse me, ma'am, I'm a Christian. I believe God heals. Can I pray for you? And I don't know, somehow that worked out. And she said, okay, sure, you pray for me. So he prays that the Lord would heal her injury. It turned out she had like a busted ankle, and that's why she was wearing the leg cast. And then he said, well, did it work? Are you healed? And she said, well, you know, I can't tell. And so he says, helpfully, take off the cast. And it was one of those like plastic and Velcro casts, you know, that you can kind of take off. To her credit, she takes off the cast and then she starts walking around without her crutches immediately and totally healed of the injury. And so, you know, they rejoice there in the parking lot. Had a good moment, and then after a few minutes, she's going to climb back into her car, and she starts putting like the crutches in the back seat, and Samuel says, no, those are mine, and takes them, and took them home as a trophy, because that's the kind of guy he is. And they had exchanged phone numbers and contacts, so in that later that week, she calls him up, and says, well, clearly, you know, you're a man of God in prayer, and my family is having some situations. Would you come on over to the house and pray for us? And so he did. He visited them at home and prayed for their family, and the Lord has really visited them. They started coming to our church right after that and have invited so many of their friends and neighbors that there's an entire row in the back of our sanctuary on Sunday mornings now that is kind of filled with those people. All started because Samuel left his lunch and decided to go try to bless somebody. So that's a story from Blue Water Mission. And now you at least know Samuel. I'm sure he would love to say aloha to you. We try to do a lot of that, like healing ministry at Blue Water. One thing that we do every so often is that we kind of skip out of church on Sunday. Instead of doing a normal church service, we do a healing service, where we just kind of make it known that, okay, this Sunday at church, we're just going to receive all comers Anybody who's sick or injured, come and we will try to heal you supernaturally and miraculously. I noticed that you guys occasionally skip out of church on Sunday to do candles, which is, so we skip out of church to do healing, which I think is rather similar. And we give our people little cards, invitation cards, like come to Blue Water Mission this Sunday, and we're just going to try and heal people. And they pass out these cards to their coworkers and their neighbors and stuff like that. And people will come. You know, a really weird thing is that people who don't believe in God and who would never come to a church to hear a sermon, I find come to our church on these healing services and on the off chance that they will receive a miracle. Which makes no sense, right? You don't believe in God. Why would you suddenly go to church to get a miracle? But people kind of have this pocket in their brain that says strange things happen. So why not try? And so they will come, and you know, we see non-Christians get healed sometimes, which is really cool. We do one or two of these healing services a year. This past healing service that we did, we had a group of ladies who came. I noticed them being present. They all sat together. And they later described themselves to me as alternative healers. They were kind of into, I mean, they weren't like into like, you know, supernatural healing as a Christian would do it, but they were into like, you know, healing through meditation and energy, right? Energy was a big word for them. And they had heard, they got wind of our healing services. They had heard that there was a church that tried to heal people supernaturally, and they just found it really intriguing. So they just kind of showed up. One of them later described herself as a white witch. I'm not really sure what that is. But she came, and we discovered this only after the service. She wanted to help us out, and so she came early. And then before the healing service, she went around the building and hid all of these healing crystals. That was her way to contribute, you know. It's like, all right, well, you know, at least you were trying to do a good thing. But we found all these rocks everywhere afterwards. Where did these come from? It's like, oh, it was from the witch. But she ended up, you know, was a rather lovely person. Anyway, they saw healings that day like they'd never seen before. And it's the power of the Spirit. And one woman, I remember, came in on crutches and left, you know, completely healed in her legs. And they all came up to talk to me afterwards. And I got to baptize a couple of them after that. They came to the Lord because they just had a real encounter with his presence. Anyway, that's talk story. I feel like we know each other now. Do you feel like you know me a little bit? You know, let's be friends. My name is Jordan. And on the count of three, everybody say your name. One, two, three. And I just feel like we're getting along famously well. So thank you for that. Okay, so let's get going. Let's get serious about this. My church is very conversational, very informal. We like to talk to each other. So here's how we'll start. I want you to turn to the people around you, to your left or your right, in front of you, behind you. I want you to look them dead in the eye. And I want you to say, well, this could be fun. So go ahead. Yeah. You never know. It's church. It might be fun. This could be interesting. And then I have a warm-up question for you. At our church, we like to do warm-up questions to get people to start thinking, get their brain juices flowing. And so I've heard, Andy has told me that you've been doing a sermon series on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven on earth, right? Am I right about that? Yeah. So you've been thinking about the kingdom of heaven on earth. So here's a really obvious warm-up question for you this morning. What is the kingdom of heaven on earth? That's my question. I want you to think about that for 8 seconds. What is the kingdom of heaven on earth? Think about it for 8 seconds. And then I will receive some of your brilliant answers. Ready? Go. Oh, yeah. You feel it? You feel it, right? You feel it? People are starting to engage. All right. Give me your brilliant answers. What is the kingdom of heaven on earth? Tell me.
We are.
Oh, we are the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's good. That sounds like a good Christian answer. So whatever the kingdom of heaven is on earth, we get to be involved in it. And that's really cool. The church is the people. And that's fun. We're all a family of God together. That's a great answer. All right, what else?
Jesus.
The answer is always Jesus or pray. Those are always two answers that always work. Jesus is the kingdom of heaven on earth. It certainly has something to do with Jesus. What a figure, man. What a figure. Everybody appreciates the uniqueness of Jesus of Nazareth. So he's certainly at the heart of it. Yes, who else? Good answers. Yes, ma'am. Kingdom of the globe? So, an interesting answer. The kingdom is the earth that we live on. So whatever the kingdom of heaven on earth is, it involves all of the earth. And so it's here and now, right? It's here and now. It's immediate. And that's certainly something that Jesus said. Oh, these are great answers. They are way smarter than you told me they were. So, good job, you. Let's get a couple more answers. Yes, ma'am. Oh, where God gets his will done all the time. We just prayed that, didn't we? Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So whatever the kingdom of heaven is, it's what God wants it to be, right? And it tells you something about what the Lord desires. That's important somehow. Oh, these are great answers. What else? What's the kingdom of heaven on earth? Yes, sir. The manifestation of God's presence and power, which sounds important. That word manifestation means to just kind of make real. So it makes real. It sort of demonstrates in a tangible way what it means to be in God's presence and to experience God's power, not just an idea, but a reality. And I like that answer because it's a conversation starter, right? It begs the question, well, if the kingdom of heaven on earth is a manifestation of God's presence and power, what sort of evidence am I going to see? Like, what is that going to bring? What's that going to do? And that's the beginning of an interesting conversation. That's really good. All right, one more answer. I want the best answer from the best Christian. So who's got it? Who's it going to be? What's the kingdom of heaven on earth? Come on, just worship. Worship. And there's your Christian right there. An interesting word, worship. Not used very often outside of the church, right? But worship describes a relationship that we have with God where we interact with him in such a way that shows that he's a bit higher, he's a bit better, and we acknowledge that, and it brings sort of freedom and celebration, as was indicated in our musical worship earlier. These are really great answers. This whole thing of the kingdom of heaven on earth is an idea that I find incredibly compelling. Honestly, it's what gets me out of bed every morning, and it's what I think about most when I think about this fellow Jesus and what he's done for the world, which I think is fair, because when Jesus showed up on earth and began his public ministry, the kingdom of heaven on earth is what he talked about first. He announced himself to the world in the beginning of the Gospels, like in Mark chapter 1, for instance, if you were to go and read that, when Jesus began his public ministry in the streets, his first phrase, his thesis statement, his headline was, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what he said. And nobody had talked about that before Jesus came in the world. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did that mean? The people around him in ancient Israel, they kind of had an understanding of a political kingdom, right? They knew what it meant for their kings to be in charge. What did it mean for the kingdom of heaven to be at hand? That word at hand means tangible, right? Graspable. The kingdom of heaven is now. You can take hold of it. It's here and now. So interesting. And then what Jesus did once he announced that heaven was on earth in some fashion is that he went about demonstrating it, manifesting it, to use that word. And that's where all the cool stories come from, guys. That's where all the cool gospel stories come from. That word kingdom of heaven, the Greek word kingdom, literally means something like dominion, that which is under domination or control of heaven. I like the word order. I think about the order of heaven coming to earth. Does that make sense? Because I understand the world to be a rather disordered place. Anybody agree with me on that? It seems like there's a lot of confusion and disorder on earth. And so for Jesus to say, hey, good news, repent and believe the good news, the order of heaven is now accessible on earth. I think about all the disorders on earth I would like to see corrected. And Jesus certainly modeled some ways in which that could happen, did he not? For instance, in heaven, are there any sick people? No, in heaven, that would be out of order. So when Jesus, bringing the order of heaven to earth, encountered a sick person, what happened? He healed them, right? Which is just a great illustration of the order of heaven coming to earth. There's some disorder in a body. There's somebody out in the car park that has a broken bone. And we can rush out there and kind of bring order back to that injury, bring order back to that disorder. That's lovely. I kind of get that. Does that make intuitive sense to you? It's like, oh, okay. In heaven, did demons oppress people? No, I can. In heaven, that would be incredibly out of order. So those of us who move in the order of heaven on earth, we can cast demons out of people just like Jesus did. If some evil spirit has gotten involved in your life and you're experiencing, I don't know, depression or, you know, some sort of sin has control of you, some sort of addiction or something like that, well, there's good news for you. We can actually bring order to that through the supernatural power of God. We can do like deliverance ministry or healing ministry to help you. And lives change, right? Anybody experience that? Oh, yeah. You know, and that's wonderful to behold. It goes on from there because heaven is a limitless place. In heaven, is anybody poor? Is anybody materially deprived of something in heaven? No, in heaven that would be terribly out of order. You know, poverty or lack would be unthinkable in heaven. So those of us who move in the order of heaven on earth, when we encounter poverty or lack, we can bring heavenly order to it. We can bring provision to it, right? And we do that through, you know, generosity or sharing. The community of Christ is always incredibly generous with each other and with the world. The church has always been famous for that through the centuries. But we can also bring provision supernaturally, like everything else that we do as Christians. This is like in the miracle of the loaves and fishes. Do you guys know that story? It's a miracle story that appears in all four Gospels in Scripture. The story goes, if you don't know it, Jesus and his ministry team are ministering in a remote place to a crowd of thousands of people who have followed them out there to receive some teaching and some miracles. And at the end of the day, Jesus and the guys realize that nobody in the crowd has eaten all day and that they're really hungry, but nobody has any food. So what Jesus does in the story, I'm going to summarize. He steals a little boy's lunch, and then he thanks the Lord for it. Read the story. This is pretty much what happens. He thanks the Lord for it, and the lunch was some loaves and fishes, basically a fish sandwich that the kid had. And then Jesus has the disciples pass out this food, and miraculously it gets multiplied, and then everybody has fish sandwiches that day. Everybody eats. It's supernatural. Why? Because in heaven, the rule is whatever you have is enough. If you have a little, it becomes a lot. Everybody always has enough in heaven. And could you imagine living that way on earth? Well, if you're in the kingdom of heaven on earth, that's what it's like. In heaven, is there anybody who does not know and experience the love and the character of God? Because if you're in heaven, you experience the Lord, do you not? You have a relationship with him, and that's sort of the definition of heaven in a way. And so those of us who move in the order of heaven on earth, we introduce people into the love and the presence of God. That's the very fundament of heaven right there. And some of you, I know recently, have just been gathered into that relationship with the Lord for the first time. You're experiencing God in a way that seemed impossible to you not so very long ago. The fancy Christian word for that sort of ministry is like evangelism and conversion. But of course, all it means is getting to know God personally. And we can bring that to one another because we move in the order of heaven on earth. And that's kind of what we do as Christians. We experience the order of heaven on earth, which sounds like a good deal to me. Are you guys into it? Yeah? You're all about the kingdom of heaven on earth? I'm not very good at it myself, I got to be honest with you. I don't bring the order of heaven to earth perfectly. I feel like there are some disorders in my own life, in the world around me as well. So there's always kind of this clash. You know, there's always a clash between the kingdom of heaven that I'm trying to live in, the kingdom of heaven that I'm trying to bring, and then sort of the disorder of the world that I sometimes find myself stuck in. And so, I don't know, it's a growth thing for me. I try to get better and better at it, but it's a bit of a push, you know. And I know that you guys experience that as well. You're trying to live in the ways of heaven, but sometimes you feel burdened by the ways of the world. Can I get an amen? Do you do that here? Is this like an Irish thing? The big question for me is like, well, how do I go about bringing the order of heaven to my life? How do I go about bringing the order of heaven to the world? And at this point, I'm legally obligated to read you some scripture. The scripture is what we do when we preach. So here's a short scripture about bringing the order of heaven to the earth. I chose one. There's so many about it in scripture, but I chose one from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. I like this story because it's Matthew 10 as the story about when Jesus sent his friends and disciples, his ministry team, out without him for the first time. And he said, all right, guys, you've been hanging out with me a while. Now you're gonna go do this for the world on your own. I'm kicking you out of the nest. Go out there and bring the order of heaven to the world. And these are the instructions that Jesus gave to his guys. Perhaps you're quite familiar with this passage already. He says to them, guys, I want you to go out and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. So tell them my message. Jesus' message was the kingdom of heaven is now accessible. And so Jesus says to his people, all right, go out and repeat my message. The order of heaven is now accessible amidst the disorder of the earth. All right? And then he says, demonstrate it. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those that have leprosy, and cast out demons. Which is an interesting job description, my friends. Go out there and tell people that heaven is accessible to us, that God is interested in us and he's active. And then heal a bunch of people and raise some dead people and cast out some demons, cure some lepers, make people feel clean again, is what that means. And then he says, give as freely as you have received. In other words, heaven is limitless. It came freely to you, so give it freely to people. And then he adds this little bit. He says, do not take any gold or silver or copper with you in your belts. Take no bag for your journey. Don't take any extra clothes with you. Don't take a walking staff with you. In other words, you are free from the restrictions of the world. You are free from the restrictions of provision. Experience the generosity of God as you do this. Which is not a very worldly thing to say. To raise up a people that live in such a way that they're never anxious about money or provision is an extraordinarily heavenly thing. Yeah, it's a picture of heavenly order as opposed to earthly order. And then he adds, you can do this because, you know, a worker is worth his or her keep. You deserve to be fed. If you do the work of God, you can expect to receive the benefits of the family of God. No father is going to let his kids starve or do without if he has something to say about it. This is our calling, brothers and sisters. Our calling is really to spread the order of heaven amidst the disorder of the world. That's what we are called to do. And the only question is, well, how can we get better at it? If I had a lot of time, I would quiz you because, again, they seem a lot smarter than you said they were. And I would ask you, well, how can we get better at doing this? How can we get better at introducing people to the love and the character of God? How can we get better at healing people who are injured or sick? How can we get better at casting demons out of people? How can we get better at raising people from the dead? And you would give me a bunch of smart answers and probably wouldn't have time to go through all of them today. I know that if we walk closely with Jesus, we get better at the order of heaven on earth, right? I'm sensible enough to know that. I'm sensible enough to make Jesus my Lord and my master, my coach, my teacher, and my friend on earth. Because if you hang out with Jesus and you model yourself after Jesus, good heavenly things tend to happen to you and around you. How many have discovered that to be true? Yeah, we know. So that's good. Get close to Jesus. That always seems like a good idea. Do that. One of the things that Jesus speaks about a lot in the Bible, that he has spoken a lot about to me, is this thing called faith. Have you heard about this? Faith, which again is a word that's used a lot in the church and maybe not necessarily so much out there in the world. But I notice that in those instances in the Bible where some great explosion of heavenly order has happened for someone, Jesus will very often at those times say, oh, faith did that. That was a product of faith. Have you noticed this? I'm a Bible geek, so what I did is I went through the gospel stories where miracles happen, and I count the number of times when Jesus responds to a miracle by saying, hey, your faith did that. And I came up with the number 11, which is a lot of times. In Mark chapter 5, there's this great story of a woman who was hemorrhaging blood for 12 years. Do you know this story? So she'd been quite weakened by it physically. She just couldn't stop her, you know, sort of womanly bleeding, and it just became a big thing in her life. She had bankrupted herself through doctors trying to get medical treatment, but nobody could heal her. And so she got it in her head that she should go out and sneak up behind Jesus. You know this story? So what happens is Jesus was walking through the crowd. This woman, who is sick and technically not supposed to be outside, according to their customs, forced her way through the crowd, snuck up behind Jesus, and touched the hem of his cloak, it says in Scripture, because she figured that if she just touched the hem of his cloak, she would be healed, which is just a stupid, stupid model for healing ministry. We'll try to do some healing here in 4 or 5 minutes. And the way we're going to do it is that I'm going to stand up here and turn my back to you. And then you're going to walk up to me and touch my jumper. Is that a good healing model? Well, somehow she got it in her head that that was the way that miracles happen. And so she sneaks up behind Jesus and touched him. And of course, you know the story. She was immediately healed. And Jesus turns around and says, oh, some power just happened. Who was that? And discovers the lady and makes her tell the story. And then what does he say? He said, woman, your faith has healed you. That was faith. What you did, as crazy as it was, showed this thing called faith. And he liked that very much. He called it out of her. So many stories. Mark chapter 2. Remember the guys who had a paralyzed friend and they couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd? So they dug a hole in some poor dude's roof and they lowered their paralyzed friend through the rooftop in front of Jesus. Like, here, Jesus, would you take care of that, please? And the account says, Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the friends, and then he healed the paralyzed guy. Wherever Jesus sees faith, he knows that a miracle can happen. The centurion, the Roman soldier, came to Jesus and said, heal my servant. You don't need to come over to my house because that's too much trouble, and that would be improper for a Jew to visit a Roman house. So just say the word, Jesus, and I know that my servant will be healed. And Jesus says to the guy, wow, I have not even found faith like that in Israel. You're awesome. Your servant is healed. Jesus was always calling out faith where he finds it. When a miracle happened, he would say to the person, oh, your faith did that. Which always strikes me as bad theology. I don't think that's what you should say. If I heal you of something today in Jesus' name and a miracle happens and I say, oh, your faith did that. That's not what I should say. What I should say is, oh, praise God, isn't he good? That's what I should say, right? That would be the Christian-y thing to say. But Jesus doesn't say that. He said, that's what I'm talking about. Faith. Faith. That's what makes this kingdom really flow in the world, which makes me really want to understand how to do faith and what it means. And this is where I've come down. We're running out of time, so I'll just give you my best answer on how to operationalize faith in your life. Here's what I think. Faith means trying stuff. But if you want a relationship of faith that brings the order of heaven to earth, it means that you try things that are heavenly. It means that you try the things that Jesus did. If you want to walk with Christ in this world, do the things that Christ did. Try them. Try them. This is what I love about my friend Samuel. He's like, oh, Jesus heals people. There's a woman with a cast on her leg. I'm going to go give it a try. And he runs out there and he just gives it a shot. Faith means trying. When Jesus says that he who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. You have to put things into practice. And I think that's why Jesus loved the hemorrhaging woman who snuck up behind him and touched the edge of his garment. It's like that was a bad healing model, but boy, she tried something, didn't she? She gave it a shot. And Jesus was just so absolutely delighted, he had to call it out. It's like, wow, that was awesome. That was a great try. And it released heaven on earth. And this is my message to you this morning. The things that you try for Jesus' sake are the things that release heaven on the planet earth. That's your job. When you give these otherworldly things a try, you're doing it. It's exactly what this life is supposed to be about. When you try to heal people, when you try to relieve them of demonic oppression, when you try to provide for people who need provision, when you try to introduce people to the love of Christ because they have not experienced the presence and the power of God, that makes you an agent of heaven. And that's exactly how you exercise faith in the world. And then the Lord honors that by bringing order to disorder. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Are you into it? The only question remaining in my head is like, why does God design the universe this way? I mean, why doesn't he just show up in the world and handle it all himself? Why does he want us to partner with him to get things done. It would seem more effective to me if God would just appear in the sky above Belfast and say, hello, I'm real, deal with it. Right? That would be effective evangelism, am I right? Am I right? But I don't know, God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they believed he existed, but they didn't trust him. And it dang near destroyed our race, didn't it? And so the Lord has designed our life in such a way that we have opportunities to trust him because we believe in him. It's a little bit different. And so all of these ministries that I'm describing, healing ministry and deliverance ministry and evangelistic ministry and justice ministry, provisional ministry, all of those things are opportunities to trust God. And that's really the privilege that we have as Christians. We have the privilege of trusting him in such a way that it blesses other people. And that's really exciting to me. That's the kingdom of heaven on earth, and that's what gets me out of bed in the morning. And that's all I have to say to you this morning. How did I do?
Good.
Is that right? Is that right? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're way better than my church. So I thought a good way to end our time together today would just be to try some of these things to see if we can wield some of the same ministries that Jesus did. Try to heal people here. Do we have any sick or injured people here this morning? How many of you have some sickness or injury that you'd like the Lord to heal? Go ahead and raise your hand. I just want to make sure that you're not entirely healthy. That would be terrible. All right, sorry. We have a few. All right, we'll do that. I'd like to take a minute or two before that and invite some of the young people with whom I'm traveling to come up. And they have probably spent some time listening to the Holy Spirit while I was speaking. I know they certainly weren't listening to me because, like I say, they come from my church. And sometimes the Lord speaks to us and gives us a message for another person. And we call that prophecy. And that's a way in which we can introduce people to the love and the character of God. Jesus did this the first time he met Nathanael. He prophesied to him and said, oh, here's a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. The Lord sees you. Jesus was always speaking prophetically to make people understand that the Lord sees them as they truly are. So we call that ministry prophecy. So I'd like to invite them up. Any of you guys have words to share with people? So this is Trey. And he's not perfect at hearing the voice of God, but he's pretty good. And you feel like you've heard something for somebody, so why don't you share?
Yeah. So I feel like I have something for the woman in the purple. I think you're like five rows back or so. I feel like...
Could you wave to me? Sorry. Which one is this?
She's kind of on the edge.
On the edge?
Yeah, you. Yeah.
Could you stand up, ma'am, if you wouldn't mind? Hi.
Hi. I just get the sense that you have like a background in healthcare somewhere, and just like the Lord is highlighting you for me as a healer. And so I feel like my sense is that this ministry in particular is one that God is inviting you to really press into and to kind of expand into spiritual and supernatural healing. And yeah, so I just bless you with that and would love to pray with you after service if any of that is resonating with you.
Wait a second.
Yeah,
so you feel like in the natural, she's a very caring, she does care for people, but then she also has a supernatural gift to help her in that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah? Espanol.
Okay.
What do you speak? Spanish. Pero entiendes que era habla del ministerio del sanar, sí, que tú tienes el don de sanar, claramente. Ah, well, sí, verdad. Pero también tú puedo compartir. A cenar con nosotros, yeah? A little Spanish in Belfast, baby. ¿Cómo te llamas?
Delfina.
Mucho gusto. Okay.
And then I'm not seeing the other guy anymore, so maybe he'll come in after service. Andy, do you have something?
That was Trey. This is India.
The first word I have is for the man in the Navy, sort of on the left of Steve. Do you want to stand up? Yeah. I feel like the Lord is saying over your life, go. Like you're ready to do supernatural ministry and just start rolling in it. And I could say it as like it's something you need to step into, but I think that's rather boring. And what the Lord is saying is it's like you standing at the top of a water slide and you can just put down the things that you don't understand about it. The Lord will take care of those as you go. And you just need to like fling yourself onto this slide. And as you go down the slide, like you're locking eyes with Jesus and you're going to just discover so much more about his character and his goodness and his love as you start just doing miracles and trying things. So I just want to encourage you to do that. And to kind of take the boldness and courage of Samuel in the story that Jordan shared and just impart that to you in the name of Jesus to start just trying these things out and just really got the sense that you're ready for it.
So what you're saying is that he can start trying miraculous things right now and he doesn't have to wait until he's an expert about anything. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, just an encouragement for that.
How's that?
Cool.
Sure.
Then the other word I have is, it's the lady in gray. You're sitting three chairs in next to the man in green. Yeah, you. I just felt like the Lord was highlighting you as someone who brings an abundant offering to him and that the Lord honors that. And I just want to stand with the Father and honor that as well. And I think this is in like the financial sense, but also in your devotion to the Lord. And so the Lord is really pleased with you and what you bring to him. And I also want to encourage you to share what you bring to the Lord, because I think sometimes we can think of offerings as between us and God, and they are, but there's an aspect of sharing that that allows others to give glory to the Father. So I just impart to you opportunity to share stories of your devotion to the Lord and authority in your voice as you do, and it'll inspire others just to kind of like pour it out all before the Father.
So she's bringing offerings to the Lord. And that makes for interesting stories that she could share with other people.
Yeah,
do you have any specific details that you would like to share?
Oh, I don't know. I know it's a way to inspire others. Let me think. I mean, I get the sense like you bring to the Lord the first fruits in every single part of your life. But I think there's, especially in the area of your devotion to the Lord, like the amount of time that you spend with Jesus, you can really inspire other people to spend more time. And okay, just to try a little bit more, like get the sense that there's a younger female in your life, whether it's like a niece or a daughter.
Somebody related?
Yeah, who can really learn from you and how you just love Jesus and pour out like all that you have before him and minister to him.
Does that make sense?
Yes, share.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was India. She's okay. All right, so we're running out of time. What I'd like to do is to try to heal some people. So, because that's what we do. We bring the order of heaven to bodies who have experienced some sort of disorder and sickness or injury or something like that. So can I just see if you're sick or injured, go ahead and raise your hand. Let me say this. If you are sick or injured in such a way that you could immediately tell if you were healed in the next 2 minutes, you know, you have some sort of pain or you have a broken bone or something like that, raise your hand. Could I have you stand up, provided that your legs are not the issue? So you have some sort of condition which, if it were immediately healed, you could immediately tell. Go ahead and you would like the Lord to heal you. You think that he might heal you this morning. Go ahead and stand up. Yeah. Very cool. I think there may be one or two more. Yeah, take the opportunity. Trust that the Lord will heal you this morning. Yeah. Yeah, okay, we'll start there. And there are a lot of you, and there's only one of me, so I need a ministry team. So I'm going to choose everyone else. I would appreciate it, brothers and sisters, if you just sort of stand up here in a second and congregate around these people. And just, you know, as Jesus did, just sort of maybe reach out a hand, touch their shoulder and bless them. When you reach them, just sort of hustle around them. That's cool. And if you're visiting for the first time today, you know, faith means trying. Go ahead. There are no experts in the house of God. They're only triers. So ask these people, if you would, for a one-sentence description of their medical issue. You don't have to share the details, and I understand that some of it might be private, but you can say something like, oh, you know, my head hurts, or my back hurts, or I've been sick with the virus, or just something like that, just so they kind of know. Just a one-sentence description. Go ahead. Yeah, real quick. That's good. All right, so here's what I'll do. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit just falls upon the crowd and heals you where you stand. And then brothers and sisters who are clustered around, just politely reach a hand out and touch their shoulder and say something like, in the name of Jesus, be healed, or in the name of Jesus, headache, go away, or something like that. We're just going to give it a try. This is faith. This is what faith looks like. Heavenly Father, I pray as people around the globe are praying today, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let the order of heaven come to earth. In the name of Jesus, brothers and sisters, receive order in your physical bodies. Let the healing of heaven come. We bring life against death. We bring order against decay. We bring encouragement against discouragement. In the name of Jesus, be healed now. All right, go ahead, follow up. Just say, headache, go away, or back, get better. In Jesus' name, try to share a blessing with someone. Share a blessing. Oh, you guys are great at this. You guys are great. Give it a try. If you're going to try, you might as well be bold about it. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. I feel like somebody has a pain in the eye, like the left eye. In the name of Jesus, be relieved of that now. Just receive a little healing there in Jesus' name. Oh, you've gotten quiet, so you must be done. So ask them to check it out. If they were healed immediately, they could immediately tell. That was the deal. So have them test it. Do a deep knee bend, or roll your shoulder, or see if the pain is left. Try it out. And if they're not immediately healed, let's do another 10 seconds. Take another 10 seconds. Have them try it out. In Jesus' name, receive. More, Lord. Give them more, Jesus. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come. There's some power there. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, Lord. All right, test it out. See if it worked. Test it out. All right, let me check. That was a 90-second healing service. Did anybody experience any healing during that time? Did you get better? What happened for you, sir? You just have a lot of pain going on. And now you feel better. Well, that's good. That's we call that positive. That's great. God bless you. Anybody else experience something already? Yes. What happened to you, ma'am? Oh, that's interesting. So you were experiencing pain in your hip and in both wrists for some reason, injured or something, arthritis. And what happened for you is that the pain in the hip and one of the wrists is gone, But the other wrist is still not healed yet. Not completely, but some. So we got 2 out of 3. But we've got the pain on the run. That's great. Jesus once healed a blind man outside of the city of Bethsaida, and it took him 2 tries to heal it. First, his eyes were blurry, and then he did it again. So you got a partial healing, and the hips. You like this, don't you? It's like you feel much better. That's good. I like it. So somebody just put your hand on her other wrist, and let's just make the last one. Oh, what a lovely gal she is. That's great. Who else? Anybody else? Yes, sir. What happened to you? Car crash, you got hurt, yeah. And you feel better now? Well, praise God. So some pain from a collision and got better. That's really cool. Who else? Yes, ma'am. That it went away? So you have sort of a repeating hip injury pain, and it was bothering you this morning, and then they prayed for you and it went away. That's good. That's positive. Yay. Nice. Anyone else real quick? Yes, sir.
Yeah, sciatica.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst. Oh, that's interesting. So he suffers from sciatica, and as you were receiving the ministry, you could kind of feel your back being stretched and pulled. Yeah, and the sciatica pain is, you don't feel it? Keep going. That sounds fantastic. I know there may be some other stories, and I'd like to just invite you to continue to receive ministry. That was an incredibly short healing service, but it just really blesses my heart to see you approach the Lord with faith, and some of you have already received healing, and good things will happen. What I want to share with you fundamentally this morning is that bringing the order of heaven to earth requires nothing more than the people of God try things in faith. And that's exactly what you just did. And it is never any fancier than that. It's never any more complex. It's never anything but what we just saw. And then you try, and Jesus gets excited about it. And he says, your faith did that. You trusted me, and we're doing this thing. We're bringing the order of heaven to the disorder of earth. And lives get saved, and lives get changed, and people find their way into eternity. It just really blesses me to be with you. God, love you guys. Father, I pray that you perfect your agenda for every person here, and that we'd all be changed at least a little bit before we leave the building. In Jesus' name, everybody says.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.